I don't think that's updated. Yeah, I don't think it's updated. But maybe.
I think if we had minutes from the last meeting, it would have been that. Because I think the last meeting was the first one I have been to.
Could have been or should have been, yeah.
So.
Because we didn't have meetings in June or July. We had a quorum issue in June and July was canceled or something like that.
Yeah, so if we had minutes from that, whatever it was, May maybe or.
A. Yeah, the website's usually not, I rarely go to that. Hey, oh, you know, hey, Rod, Russell. I know that between you and Jared, you're going to remember this. Which one of you is the vice chair?
I was because Jared was muted and couldn't figure out how to use his computer. So he nominated and voted for him to be president. And then he finally figured it out at the last minute, said fine, but only if I was the vice chair.
I forgot about that. That is so true. All right. Well, then Heather isn't
he's
here.
Been a, so well, he's the, here now, but
you're the boss tonight, the, Russell.
Why am I the boss? Jared's here.
Yeah.
Wait, oh no, you're right. Heather time termed out. That's right. It's Jared. I'm sorry.
I mean, he is like 20 years older than me, so he should know how to do this.
They work for the same state farm, so they have a significant rivalry. Yes, yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's a one-sided rivalry. It's a one-sided rivalry for sure. But yes, I'm happy to take on that role.
All
with
right,
Russell's so, help and guidance as vice and call the meeting to order.
Thank you. Do you have
I'm pretty used to it by now, giving guidance to Jared.
See, we're even an hour of this. Jared, do you have an agenda you can work off of near you?
I do. Yep, I see it here.
Excellent.
Do we have any public comment? Do we ever have public comment? When was the last time there was some public comment?
I don't remember the last time. We do have a member of the court.
Yeah, I have no comment.
Yeah. So one, hey Jared, I'm thinking maybe we go around the table and do an introductions. Is that okay with you?
I think that's great. I think that's a great idea.
You want to kick us off then?
I would. I'd love to. Yeah. So I'm Jared. Reside in West Lynn. I'm a State Farm agent, have been since 2011. My business is based out of West Lynn as well, but my offices are spread around Beaverton and Portland also, so I'm around all over the place. But I've been a member, a part of the community since 2020. I chose to live in West Lynn with young kids for the schools and the community and a lot of other reasons. And I'm excited to be a part of this committee. For two reasons. One, it's cool. I get to, you know, obviously get to learn about some of the things that are coming up for the city. I care about, you know, I spend a lot of time in the city, and so it's interesting. And it's also a great opportunity to get my voice heard on things that, you know, I see and notice and care about. And so it's cool to be here. It's great to be here, and I'm happy for it. This is my third meeting only, so I'm also relatively new to the committee.
Yeah, with Jared, when we did the elections for a new chair and vice chair last meeting, as you may recall, he was muted, so basically Russell forced him into being the chair in his second meeting ever. So that's kind of how that goes. Oh, and I see Bo is joining us. Hello, Bo. I'll keep it going and we'll end with Russell. We'll kind of loop around the table. And since Russell seems to be barbecuing food for us tonight, I'm sure he's going to bring it in right away. That's enough.
So, you can, Chris, you are welcome to join me. You just got to get over to Wallowa Lake.
Yeah. I'll be right there in 5 hours. So I'm Chris Myers, city staff. Planner. I'm also a community member here in West Lake.
And also, really surprisingly, a community member.
Hi, okay. I'm Christy Lons. This is my first meeting, obviously. I ran for school board in the last election, and got really involved in just local interests in the last year, and I'm very involved in the Old Neighborhood Association. So, yeah.
Leo Rutter, city councilor, and I live in the South.
Did they look forward to their people?
I'm Rebecca Hollenbeck, and I'm executive director of Historic Land and Main Street.
Do you ever go home though? It's like,
I kind of do.
Probably I spend more time here than in Milwaukee. Yes.
I'm Shannon Eilis, and I do live in the West Lynn as well. I'm a local realtor, and I run a networking group for women business, Spark Roundtable. So, just saying beautifully everything.
I'm the other Shannon. Shannon with an E. She's Shannon with an O.
Yep.
and I'm in her networking group, so we have to do that every time.
We do. We show up together Shannon. Everywhere.
Yeah,
yeah, Shannon. Shannon Squared.
And I live in the West neighborhood. And own a couple businesses in the area as well.
Hi everyone, I'm Steve Cooper. I'm the new community development director for Westlands. This is day 3, week 1 of the job. So glad to be here. I previously was the assistant community development director for Tualatin. Prior to that, I worked for Happy Valley and Clackamas County. So I'm pretty familiar with the area. I've lived in the Portland Metro for about 22, 23 years so far. I've been doing community development planning for just under 18.
So, welcome.
Yeah, good to be here. Good to meet you all. Good to see some familiar faces.
Yeah, good to have you on board.
Thank you.
Yeah. Let's see. I think that leaves us with Russell.
Russell Williams. I live in West Lynn since, I don't know, for 12 years. Opened an agency 2013 up by Safeway. Now I'm down on Highway 43. I live, work, and I've been on a committee 2021, I think I joined, or 2020, I don't remember, I've been here a while.
It's like longer than that. It's been a minute, that's for sure.
I enjoy it because you get a, like, I tell people, like, we weren't allowed to have food carts until at an EDC meeting. You know, I get to make comments that leads to changes that are positive in the community, and I think it's great.
That's cool. I guess we have one more person there. Bo, do you just want to say hi?
Oh yeah, hi, I'm Bo. I'm just I live in the Willamette area, and I'm just a nosy resident.
Does he have any public comments?
That's true. You know.
I heard.
Yeah.
Thanks. Thanks, everybody. I appreciate it. And I think we could give Bo 3 minutes. Bo, if you have 3 minutes of information you want to share, go for it.
Yeah. Oh,
thanks for being here.
I'm just listening in. I have nothing to add. I'm just listening in. There you go.
I'd like to hear more from our new community development director. Thanks for the brief introduction. I'm excited to hear about, I think the vision for the role, you know, as you step into it, and, you know, what can we expect as far as participation, and, you know, are you going to be in this meeting regularly, and what do you hope to achieve in your relationship with our committee, and, you know, how does that all work? You know, being new, I personally love to hear, you know, how we all, what the synergy is between your role and our committee.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. That's a great question. I don't know that we've fully mapped it out. I'd like to say that I'm glad to be invited to this meeting. I'd love to continue coming to the meetings and working with y'all. There's not been a designated economic development person at the city for
prior to, you know, for a little while prior to my coming here. So figuring out how that fits in with all the other duties of the role is still, I think, a work in progress. And so I feel certainly like there's a lot of expertise in this room and online that I'm planning to rely on to help shape that trajectory.
And you probably don't, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to presume anything. You may not know right now, obviously being new to the role. Congratulations, by the way. But it'll be, I'd love to know how, you know, in, if you are in these meetings and in our time together, how we can be most effective, obviously, for you.
Too. Yeah.
So share as often as you can.
Sure. Yeah. Happy to. Thank you.
And also being, I should say, and I should have said this at the beginning, I don't know how formal these meetings are normally, you know, and kind of what the expectation has been over time. And so I'm kind of stepping in new, and I certainly don't want to create a new flow or dynamic, obviously, as when I run these meetings. Like, this isn't my first time doing this type of a role. And so generally my aim is always to make sure everybody gets heard. And I'll often call, you know, if someone's quiet, I'll often try to create some space maybe for them to say something if they have something to say, just because it can be hard in a noisy room sometimes to speak up. And my aim's also always to make sure meetings are completed on time or early. That tends to be an important point for a lot of people. Outside of that, I don't know what other roles I'm expected to play. So I do want to take a minute, if that's okay, before you share, Chris, the Vision 43 update, to just get any feedback from the group here about what any expectations that I have or things that historically I should probably know in a role like this. I'm assuming, based on just being here 3 weeks, it's not very significant outside of just running the meeting, making sure we get through everything on time.
Well,
am I on the right track?
Yeah, I'll just jump in real quick and start us off on that, because I think it's a really, I think it's really cool that you're asking, because I think that's I think the most productive advisory groups that I've been a part of are one where we are following a certain set of rules, like following our agenda, not getting too far off track. And that is part of your job, is to kind of, you know, pull us back when we get too far astray. But the other part is, I think it's important to keep a comfortable and open environment where we're not speaking down to one another, where we're positive, but people tend to be more sharing. And I think at the end of the day, it's an advisory group where hopefully we as a city are bringing things to the group to get words of wisdom, advice. What do you think? Give us your thoughts. Tell us what you don't like. Tell us what you do like. So I think creating an environment where people feel comfortable to share is a really important part of it as well. So keeping us on track and helping create that environment, I think I see as being the two big parts of that role that you're playing.
And you also have the agenda. That's basically the other role you have.
Mm-hmm. Which is always interesting to me, because it's hard to set an agenda when you don't know what we have to bring you, but that is the way the charter is written. And so what will happen is that each month, about 2 weeks out from the meeting, I'll send you a draft agenda and you say, that looks great, or can we add this, or whatever. And then that's your approval and that's the agenda.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I'm always available if you need anything on that front as well, just as a council liaison. I'll add from my perspective, having been on advisory groups and boards since 2020, and then being liaison to a number of them now, Chris here always brings a ton of content to fill this and a lot of enthusiasm about it. So if you ever need, he will always take over and run the show, whether you like it or not.
I really
like it. It makes for a very nice.
Just the highlights. Steve is my new boss, everybody. So you know, all positive comments tonight.
Well, that's one of the reasons I asked, is because in the couple meetings that I've attended, Chris, you've basically run the meeting, and so it was. I'm like, what's my role really? And you've done a really good job of running the meeting, and so I agree with Kevin. I think that's, I appreciate that. So it does make it a lot easier and smoother. So that's thanks for that clarity. Anyone else have any thoughts on just what that? One question I've got is one thing that's often used in a lot of these forums is like a parking lot. You know, it's a great place to put when we do start to get off topic. You know, a lot of times that stuff matters, it's relevant, but it may not be quite on point, on topic, and we should probably, you know, sometimes we just need to move on, you know, to make sure we get done on time. So a parking lot is a good place to park stuff and circle back around the next meeting to that. I would like to throw out the idea that that becomes something that we have where we can, someone can make a recommendation and put it in the parking lot. And if people agree, we can do that. Would that, anyone have a concern, any questions or concerns about that?
No, I like it.
Okay. All right.
I think I have another comment, everybody. One of the things that made me think of is that I totally just lost my train of thought, but it was a really good point I was about to make. So I'm sure it'll come to me here in a second. And it had something to do with, when I remember it, I'm going to bring it back up. In 5 minutes when I remember what I was going
to
say.
Does that have to do with our goals?
Oh, yeah, it probably had something to do with goals and what we want. But that's not what we're doing right now. I'm going to keep on the agenda. I'll stick to the agenda.
I will say there's usually a spot at the end of the agenda for items of interest, I think they call it, right? So that's where you could bring up stuff that you want to put in the parking lot.
Yeah.
I like the
Yeah, that's great. That's a great point.
And yeah, actually, sorry, Jared, go.
No, you go, Chris, you're good.
I'll remember it. I promise I'll remember.
Portlandia, one of you go.
My apologies for interrupting. Councillor Groner's right. I was going to highlight that we have been working through work plans for each of the advisory groups. Council is working on approving certain things that we are going to do over the next, I think it's year or for the year. And so we haven't landed on the EDC yet because we wanted to wait for Steve to get here so that we can make sure the community development director, and part of Steve's job is economic development for the city of West Lynn, that he's bought into and thinks what we're going to do as a group is appropriate for an economic development committee. So to your point, the parking lot's important, but we're also going to be given essentially a work plan from council on things that we will try to be working on. So
great.
I think the intent was the work plan is a joint product of the advisory committee and the council.
Yep.
So certainly input's desired.
Yep. Absolutely.
Yeah, I think the idea is that we're going to put them in place now and then probably around the council retreat to nowhere. We will then update it with anything new that we want to add and kind of check in with these. So
makes sense.
It's not set in stone for more than a couple of months.
Yeah.
So no pressure.
All right. Those are my thoughts. Thanks for giving me space to share that. And Chris, if you now it's time, I guess we can get some updates on Vision 43. I'm looking forward to that for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have a huge update for you guys this time. We're still in that that space in the project now where the consultant group is working, doing a lot of the work. Just today, we received the latest draft of our new mixed use zoning code. Certainly not yet ready for viewing. This is clearly one of those, the sausage is being made and it's best just not to look at what we're putting into it right now. All the effort and the misspellings and things that need to be fixed. So we actually gave Steve a a pretty good briefing yesterday on Vision 43. And so some of the things that I was just going to bring to talk about today are sort of our updated timeline that we are looking right now to finish adoption in a public hearing in May of 2026. And as part of that, that's an extension that's longer than we were initially going to go. We actually have to, the contract expires in October. It was a 24-month contract. So we're working with finance and Stephanie up in contracts here at the city to extend MIG's contract through June of 2026 to make sure we have enough time on it. We actually don't think we need to adjust the budget, which is nice. We're in a really good space. We've spent $118,000 of our $200,000 so far. So we've been able to manage those, the budget spending. We do have a couple of big purchases. The transportation analysis and whatnot are rather meaty purchases, but that's all been budgeted in. So we may need to extend a little bit more money, but I don't think it's going to be much. We're allowed, I can't remember, it's 25% without having to go back to council, but we're not going to need $25,000 more dollars. We're probably talking about another $4,000 or $5,000. But thanks, Kevin. But we have budgeted, and council approved the budget. We have budgeted Vision 43 dollars in the budget that just started on July 1st. So we already have the money set aside for it. And that's, you know, that's able to pull from that. So we're extending out a little bit further, but as you've heard me say recently, better do it right than do it fast. We want this document to live for decades and guide us. So we're really kind of easing off a little bit. Last meeting, Shannon reminded me, thank you, that we did speak about the policy questions. I'm going back to council, I believe it's in September. It is in September. To give them some more information that was requested when I first brought the policy questions forward. They had asked for some better, what are the unintended consequences of some of these policy questions that we're asking? Things like, if you require housing, what does that mean? Stepping back the height of a building away from residential, how many units would we lose? Those kind of questions. So we're in the process on putting that information together. And then we'll take it back to council so we can get some guidance on those first three policy questions. And I think that's a really indicative of what happens when you, in a project, when you get to this point, is this is where the rubber hits the road now. It's no longer a theory and how cool would that be. It's now this policy question, that guidance determines how this code is written, and that code determines what gets built or not built or how it gets built. So it gets a little bit more real with this process, and I think it's wise of us to let's just get it right. We'll get there. The other interesting thing I thought you might enjoy, and obviously it's a little bit of a not so humble brag on my part, but you know how much effort we put into our engagement in this project. And as everyone probably remembers, I committed to doing 30 sort of outreach events or points of contact with the community. And yeah, we're at 61 right now, and we have 10 more slated before the end of this calendar year, and those are going to be a little more robust, right? These are going to be open houses where we have draft code on the table and sit around kind of old school planning style, how some of us might have done it earlier in our careers that doesn't get done very much anymore. But we'll actually sit around and discuss and have, you know, markers and mark up the code, and we like this, we like that, or we don't like that. So there'll be a little. They get a little more intense as the open houses go. This is, again, those last efforts to guide how that code's going to go through. So those are coming up in fall and into the winter, I think into the winter. So, so that was pretty cool as we started updating our sheet for Steve to make sure we were giving him accurate information. Realized, wow, we had quite a few more than I thought. So that was great. So that's generally speaking, the 43 update, as I've mentioned, and it is a high priority on my list right now, is to meet with local developers, regional and local developers, to show them some of these design criteria that we have in this code. We want to make sure that we're not writing any code that would scare people away from Westland. Otherwise, what are we doing, right? So we need to make sure we find that balance between what we as a community want and what's actually feasible as being built. And so that conflict kind of keeps me up at night a little bit. We got to find that space in the middle where everyone's going to get what we want. But that's also opened up a further conversation we're starting to have, and that's about incentivizing development, not just saying, you have to do this or you can do that, but finding a space where we can incentivize someone, whether it's an extra story or, you know, whatever, SDC credits, et cetera, et cetera. So it's getting quite a bit more complex right now, but it's a really exciting part of the project, so.
Yeah, just because we have some new people.
I'm sorry.
Explain what Vision 43
is. Yes, I'm sorry. I have done this so many times. I just went right past it. Did not. I'm so sorry, Shannon. Thank you. Yes, so for anyone who doesn't entirely know, although you were at the, where was I, Bolton? When we were there?
Yeah,
was it Bolton? Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, quick reminder. Thank you. We are working on creating a vision for Highway 43. The corridor, I should say, not the physical highway. This isn't about potholes and lane striping. This is about land uses adjacent to the highway. We have narrowed it down, as I believe we went over a couple meetings ago, three focus areas where we're looking at some increased height allotments, increased bulk. You can build bigger buildings on the property wider, and just a more intense use. The state has recently come down. We will need to build 3,000 housing units over a 20-year period, which is a really, really hefty goal for Westland. We have a couple hundred acres of buildable land left. So in order to accomplish a goal like that, we will need to start thinking about up and intensity of building, right? And I think, and most people seem to agree, that the corridor along Highway 43 is a great place to start if you're going to try and increase the density of housing in Westland or anything, commercial uses, office uses, housing. So we have three focus areas, which we have gone over before, and those are council approved, at least via a thumbs up from our counselors. And we're working on creating this vision that will hopefully carry us, you know, 30 or 40 years into the future along Highway 43 corridor. A secondary part of that project is working on the connections between neighborhoods and parallel to the corridor, but not actually on the highway. So we're trying to make these, you know, random sort of trail pathways that cut between houses that are legitimately trails, but people don't know about. We want to make those connections more obvious. Probably have to talk about some wayfinding signage in the future. And also maybe somehow formalizing those with, it doesn't mean pavement, but it might mean a little bit of striping on the street to guide you in the right place. But that way we could more cleanly walk along adjacent to the corridor, not having to walk on highway or on the sidewalk. It's a really unpleasant walk if you haven't done it. It's very loud. And I just think that's not a problem we're going to solve. The traffic's not just going to miraculously stop and get quiet. So working on those inner neighborhood connections close to the highway on both sides, east and west, is another part of this project. And Kittleson and Associates are the engineering firm that MIG has hired. They are working on that. And as part of that, we heard very loud and clear through almost every event and place that we've been, crosswalks are important to our community. And Kittleson took that message from us and have created on a map, they're not official yet, but we have 12 proposed new crosswalks on the 3.3 mile stretch of Highway 43. A lot of them consist with things like, hey, there's a bus stop here and an apartment complex. Well, yep, that would be a fantastic place for a crosswalk. I did some comparisons with Lake Oswego and some of their newer overhauled areas like Boone's Ferry. They usually have crosswalks about every 650 feet. Ours were more like 0.6 miles apart.
I believe we had
0.7 mile and a half. So ours, you do them in sort of these half mile chunks. They're doing them in like one or two football fields. So we need to put a little more emphasis on safe crossings for our community, and that will help make these more livable spaces as well. And lastly, oh yes, sir.
It occurs to me that these off-road trails, clearly we're seeing a lot more electric scooters,
yep,
electric bikes, and it'd be nice if those become alternate paths for these kinds of vehicles as
yeah,
well.
Absolutely. Yeah,
there really have to point. Be some rules about them, but
yeah. I'm not going to touch those rules, but yeah, I agree with you. Well, you can do that, but as part of this project, that's not on our scopes.
Did meet with that realtor for a few weeks ago.
Josh.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that might be worth discussing.
Councilor Bonington was in communication with a local real estate broker, has the Sourdough Willie's listing. It's an old local business that's now out of business. They have a property right, more or less right across the street from the old McDonald's that's down, that is vacant. And it's for sale, has a house and a business. Pretty good property, a little short in its depth. Pretty narrow, but it will be rezoned. It's commercially zoned now, and it will get a mixed use or multi use zone on it through this project. And yeah, he met with us just to kind of talk about what can my clients expect out of a property, like what could be done in the future. And I think it's great that word is starting to get out about the project, because that does generate some thoughts and creativity and ideas. So
yeah, and the feedback that I observed from that was really positive. It seems like he was very happy about that. And I can give my feedback all day long, but I'm probably way too close to it.
I know there's been discussions about possible food carts on that location.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of possibilities.
Yep, there are. That's right.
I just saw it come down in price and came through the feed. But it's still very overpriced.
Well, and Josh admitted to that. He actually worked there in high school.
Oh, yeah.
For Sourdough Willie's, and now he's the real estate broker, and he's a family friend. It's like he's kind of doing this more as a favor to them, and so he is letting them kind of guide through the. He's not doing the hard push to get it sold, and it doesn't sound like they are. So they're kind of guiding that, and they'll get there on their price eventually, I would assume.
Will the land be worth more if it's rezoned?
My argument would be yes. I mean, I can't guarantee that, but you'd be hard pressed to say.
Yeah, just expanding the possibilities. Because they're talking about a lot of businesses adding on above.
Yeah. And you can add housing. It's going to drive up what you can
make out of that property. Is there going to be a requirement with the coding for certain allotment for affordable housing, or is it just going to be what people feel like building?
Yeah, so right now we haven't had that conversation, and that'll be something that we'll need to get. Well, Steve and our city manager and our council, we need to probably start having those types of conversations.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best way to do that is incentivize it.
Correct.
Yes, and I had a thought that if we're talking about height maximums and where those should be at, we could have incentives. So maybe normally you can build a three-story, but if you're willing to build a certain amount of housing or affordable housing, in fact, before, but something like that. Unlocking those benefits, right? Doing things we need them to do.
Yeah. It's really a good way to put it, is unlocking something, right?
Yeah.
Doing X will be the key to get to Y.
And
yeah, so that's something that we'll need to be having those conversations here pretty soon. Yeah, so that's a broad and fast Vision 43 update for you. I would hope that by our September meeting, I'll have at least a few developer interviews under my belt. I can bring back kind of what I'm hearing from some of the developers about what they may like or not like about what we're trying. And that would probably be the next kind of interesting thing I might have to bring back. So hopefully I can at least bring four or five of those back for September.
Great.
Yeah. That's all I got, Jared.
Since your boss is here.
Oh, you're on mic. Your mic's off.
From someone who also sits on the CC. You've done an amazing job of getting the word out to the community.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Being transparent with everything.
I appreciate that. As you know, Shannon, that was a very big goal of mine. Was I wanted to make sure that everyone was going to at least have a chance to speak up. Whether they do or not, I can't make that happen. But I really do feel strongly about that. I think the old... We kind of got in this version of planning where we do a lot of online stuff and sort of this, like, it's a little bit easier. I felt it was very important for me to get out and for people to see staff, and I live here, but to really just talk to people and hear about it. I think sometimes in planning, we get a little ahead of ourselves thinking we know what's best, but maybe that's not what the community wants. And so then maybe it's not what's best. And I think I'm trying to reverse that a little bit, at least for what I do. So I appreciate you saying that. Thank you.
would agree with that. So
thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Good question on affordable housing too. I appreciated that. Can I make an agenda swap, and can we, are there any staff announcements? Can we cover that before we hop into items of interest? Because then,
oh, sure.
Then we'll know how much time we have for that.
Absolutely. I have one topic I think we've touched on before, but I think now that Steve is on, we're going to be a little bit closer to reality. So I just wanted to talk about the potential for a TIF feasibility study. So that is a tax increment financing feasibility study. So it relates to Highway 43, and I believe council has set aside some funding for us. I'm trying to remember if it's a specific line item or if it's just part of our project. It doesn't matter. So how this works is there's you hire a firm, and they'll look at what we're attempting to implement as part of Vision 43. And then you essentially will take our three focus areas, and they'll look to see if it's what kind of, let me slow back also now. A TIF, a tax increment financing district, right? It freezes the tax base at that moment when you approve the TIF, when council would approve it. Then the increase in value after that moment, that money goes to what you would call like a redevelopment agency, like the city. We would have someone that would help us do redevelopment projects. It allows us to get funding to jumpstart projects, do some public work projects we may want, things like that. So that's a really very basic way of saying what a TIF is, but that's essentially what it is. So the first step is to take what we think the project is going to produce, and then have a firm analyze, oh, okay, if you do that, what type of increment in tax and development fees, taxes would you get? What kind of money would you generate over X number of years? It gives us an idea, is that something we even want to do, right? Because there's other implications that we don't need to get into, but a common one is TVFNR. They're a tax district, right? And that kind of takes away a little of their funding for a while. So they have to actually, they have to approve it, don't they? So there are some implications here. Yeah, Shannon, you were on the working group for the last one, weren't you? Or just paid a lot of attention to it. Classic Shannon. So anyway, now that Steve is on, we met with a firm who did our last feasibility study. We met with them in January, and John, the city manager, really wanted to wait till the new CD director is here. So now that Steve's here, we're at least going to be engaging in some internal conversations about hopefully nudging that feasibility study forward, or at least I will, because I think it's a very important piece to us being able to, for we as a city, actually being able to go out and maybe do something in the corridor and show people what's possible, especially on that old Bolton Firehouse site. That's a big one in our
process. I was just saying, what would you use the TIF funding for? Because you can't use it for street improvement.
Nope.
ODOT.
Nope. So you get into a public-private partnership, talk about old Bolton Firehouse, and here's what we want to do. And, you know, it gives you some options, basically, what it gets to, right?
Subsidize affordable housing.
Yeah, you could. Yeah, you absolutely could. I think. Yeah. I don't see why you couldn't, right? Yeah. So anyway, that feasibility study, I hope, isn't too far out in our future, and I'm not trying to put pressure on Steve.
I'm excited about the idea as well.
Yeah, I know you are.
I think it's just to... It's like everything, balancing priorities.
Yep, exactly.
Making sure that we can do Able it, like you said, well.
Yeah.
Right? Like that if we need to slow it down to be able to do it well, that's important.
Totally agree. And I think really what Steve's saying is, you know, we're pretty at our limit staffing-wise with what we can accomplish right now. So something's got to finish before we can start taking on another project, right? And a TIF is now the feasibility study part doesn't take much, but yeah. But anyway, so that's a really exciting thing for us, because it's one of those next steps in the process of turning that corridor into something more than just a pass through for the region and single story strip malls. And so it's exciting that we're at least a little bit closer to being able to get a feasibility study done. And also that should kind of be a highlight for us of, yeah, if it turns out that the feasibility study would look pretty good, it kind of means maybe this thing's actually going to work. You know, maybe 43 is going to turn it around a little bit. So that's my only announcement. That was longer than I wanted to be, but yeah. So, oh, and the other thing that Steve and I briefly chatted about was just the potential to bring back some of the feasibility information through this committee to kind of show it to you, get some feedback from you. It wouldn't really be a working group per se, but at least bringing it to you guys as we get information. It is economic development, and that is this group. So
yeah, I think that's a great idea.
Yeah. Yeah. Get some feedback.
I mean, that's not your project, but there is the TIF that's going right now on the waterfront, right?
Yep.
So I think at some point we have an update on how's that going.
Yeah.
Like, money are we getting?
Oh, sort of.
What are the plans for the projects? That kind of
stuff. I think it's a great question because I actually don't know either. So that's a really good question. And I guess we'll go about finding out.
Write that down. With regards to the waterfront, I want to bring some good news. I think many people have heard that the budget, the state included $45 million for the Lynn Falls Trust to purchase the old paper mill. And then recently that had been in jeopardy. Well, this morning, Governor Kotek signed it. It will not be vetoed. So it's a real thing now.
So with the 45 is coming through.
It is real.
That's fantastic.
That's happening for sure.
Wow, that's a big deal. That is a huge deal.
It's exciting.
That's great. That's fantastic news. Cool.
What's the impact? We have a little bit of time. What are the gut reactions on impact of that project for West Lynn? How does that, you know, traffic there? And I feel like that could probably be a boon in some way. For
positive is past me. They're going to get passed.
Go ahead,
Shannon.
Hit us with the hard stuff first. Yeah. We know you want to.
No, I think it's really good. Yeah. I don't, but it depends on who you ask. And a lot of people would say the traffic's very good.
Yeah, that's a mess that is going to be insulting. It's going to be transformative for the region.
Yeah,
it's going to be one of the biggest things to happen around here in my lifetime.
Yep, 100%.
And it would become a destination.
Yeah, it would increase tourism for sure, which would help all in the business. So from my perspective, great, because you bring all this extra business to town.
But it's going to take some infrastructure to get to it.
Yep.
We'll have some planning, but the thought of, you know, possibly a hotel, restaurants, I mean, it's just the vision that I've seen for it is really exciting.
Yeah.
So it deserves it. I mean, there's so many of these areas, you know, you think Hood River and these other areas that have beautiful things around their rivers, and you go to Chicago and everything is, you know, geared towards walking along the river, and here we have this gorgeous river, these gorgeous falls, and no one can see it, and it's just junky old buildings.
And you don't actually even realize, until I took that tour of the old paper mill, you don't even realize those views that you get from that property.
Yeah.
It's amazing. You just don't even think about it. You can't have access, you know?
Yeah. I think people forget or never knew that was West Lynn. That was Lynn City, Robin's Nest, before it burned down, flooded, and then burned down again. They built over that. There was a hotel up until 1980.
Yeah.
Like, this was West Lynn, and, you know, hasn't been available to the public for a very long time. That's a tragedy.
Yeah.
That get you anything? Was that?
That's great. That was my item of interest, as I wanted to talk about that a little bit. So that was really great for me. Any other items of interest from any other members, or Kevin, Steve, anybody?
Well, just because I know we just got the work plans from council for my other committee I'm on. Is that something that we should be putting on the agenda, like giving our opinion on what we would want our work plan to be for council to approve?
I suppose we can talk about it. Yeah.
I don't know about it at this point.
Yeah, there's a couple things. I sent Dylan is the assistant to the city manager, and he's kind of in charge of this process that we're running, this process for the CAGs and work plans. And I sent him a pretty extensive list of comments, because there were certain things that I think there's a disconnect on what tags do. They're community advisory groups. And most people aren't going to go spend 5 hours a week outside of this meeting working on things that we give you to do. Like it's, I understand there's a limit of how much time you want to volunteer to the city, right? We all have things to do. So initially, the work plan for the EDC came through to perform an economic opportunities analysis. I'm like, whoa. That is a professional, economist's job. Like we hire firms to do that. We can't just sit around here and do that ourselves. I don't think any of us have the expertise to do that. So I think there was some disconnect, and I sent some feedback. And we've talked about, I suggested or recommended that we be the working group for the economic opportunities analysis. Council, I think, generally has agreed that it's okay to do one, and we need to go get a grant from DLCD to do that. And they have some EOA grants. Again, it's something we need to actually have staff time to go do. So I think that'll be the bigger one. That's kind of at the top of the list right now, is updating our economic opportunities analysis. The last one was in 2016. Things have changed quite a bit since 2016. And it's time to kind of
next year would be 10 years.
Seems like call it a good 10, Brian. Call it rounded off at 10.
It's unfortunate that this has taken so long, but I think a lot of these work plans came about back December from yes. this group specifically because it wasn't clear what we wanted to do. Right. And all of the advisory groups are put together from council with directives of what to work on, the exception of CCM. and so I think we needed to have an official stance on what those things are and make sure that is something here that's interesting for everyone to attend and enjoy doing.
And I think there has been. There was confusion before about our role with the community director, or I think it was a different role name before. Yeah, and so I think clarity will really help us once you've kind of talked and figured things out of how we can support you and where our input is needed and requested. So, you know, we want to support you as much as possible. So. Yeah.
Well, I think of it, you know, we have a project working group for Vision 43, and it's 13 community members that volunteer time. And I think we've had 6 meetings. We're going to have an extra one, a 7th meeting, just because we need it. You know, we bring them questions, and we're asking them certain specific things, like what is your opinion about requiring housing in any new development in a focus area? And we have some really good, robust conversations about that. And we take that information and it helps us formulate and it helps us move that question up to the next level, planning commission and then on to city council. I view it, CAG, that like that's sort of what we should be doing is bring new things to ask your advice, opinions, feelings, etc. I'm not convinced, and I mean, my boss and 2 counselors are here, so I could be wrong. I'm not convinced that CAGs are, quote, doing a lot of work. Like, how much can you produce? I don't know that that's actually how the charter is set up. And you're not going to produce documents for us. That's not how that works. It's my job. Your job would be, hey, here's something we're working on. And here are the sort of 3 problems we might have. Let's talk about them one at a time and see if we have a consensus about how this CAG feels about that or what you think about that, and I can report that up. So I think right now for me, I'm hesitant to go saying, yes, I think all these things you want this group to do are great, because I don't know that that's what we're supposed to be doing. I'm only getting some traction on that conversation. Sorry, I keep turning just to you guys. I think people are hesitant to really analyze what the purpose of a community advisory group is. I know every group wants to do something, but I don't think we can expect you guys to spend more than the hour and a half a month. You know, I don't think we can expect you to spend like, hey, I need you to go interview some developers for me for Vision 43. Here's 5, and here are all the questions I want. Oh, you know what? Make up the question. You know, it's like, how much time are you going to be willing to spend doing that thing? So that's where I'm at right now. It's just I want to make sure whatever we agree the work plan is appropriate for the group and the time that you've committed to doing this. I'm also not a believer I mean, Steve and I are on day three together, but, you know, he'll learn a lot about me. But I'm not a big believer in writing out a 50-point to-do list if I'm only going to get two of them done today. Sure, maybe that's my master list I'm going to pull from later, but that's not my day's to-do list. I might get four things done today. So for us, an hour to an hour and a half a month, let's probably say 10 times a year, because there's usually a holiday or a quorum issue or vacations. Let's say we meet 10 times a year. So what can we do in 10 hours spread over 12 months? And what can we produce? We could probably pick one good thing, like be the working group for an economic opportunities analysis and give feedback and input on that process. That to me seems like a reasonable thing that we could do. But producing more than that, I don't know that I don't buy that so much. So I'm just a little hesitant. We keep getting four and five and six different goals. We're like, we haven't done one thing in 5 years. How are we all of a sudden going to do six things in 10 months? Like, literally, someone please explain that to me. I'm sorry, I get fired up about this because I'm protective as well. It's like,
yeah,
we're just going to set ourselves up to fail. Let's be realistic about the amount of time and effort we can, and our expertise. We're realtors and business owners and insurance agents, and, you know, like, there's a.
But that's the strength of these groups, yeah. The diversity of backgrounds.
The strength is the diversity, but we can't expect you to be an economist. So therefore, doing economist thing that we go pay $25,000 for.
I agree,
right? Oh, I know you are. You know.
The way this group would attack that would be writing a letter to council encouraging them to get it done.
Get what done?
The economic analysis.
Well, and they did agree that we like that. They like the idea. Now we need to go get a grant. So
I think what I'd like to see is that of the maybe for each meeting, there is a specific question or topic that we then work on, and then most of the recommendations I find myself bringing back to everyone later are maybe a sentence or two, and you can distill them down that's small in the end, but it's a recommendation on what we should do on a specific topic, so that we can refer to that. So the challenge is figuring out what we're working on that's relevant to this group's mission that we can continue to bring. I can take back.
Yeah.
You can take back.
No, and I like that idea, picking one sort of theme for a meeting or project theme, if you will. There's one other challenge that's very self-serving of me to bring it up, but you know me. Is it allocation of time? You know, we are not allocated time in our FTE to run these meetings, these groups. This is just fit it in. So knowing I have 10 developers to interview and two CUPs on my desk I have to work on, and X, Y, and Z, I think it's a great idea. I just need to find 2 or 3 hours to do it. You know? And that doesn't sound like a lot, but it's like a lot sometimes, you know. But no, I think that's a good idea, though. It's at least one project. And the other thing that I can do better, I think, is bring guests from the city. Like, hey, we're working on X project. Let's have Luke from Public Works come in and give us a 20-minute talk.
And that's kind of what we used to do. Like, we worked on things like the city was getting new business and licensing software. So that was brought to us, and we consulted about what software to get, like, that, you know, would...
I have to use
that one.
No, not at all. I want things to do everything being easy, like my phone, you know.
Which is all great, and then when you actually work in the back end, have software like that, I'm like, oh, it was sold to me as great software, and I cannot figure out how to use it.
Nothing like that. No, but I think that's the point, though. It's like it's maybe, you know, on my end, it's reaching out. I know we have some reasonably interesting projects that have some economic development type of value to them, and that's, you know, having someone come and just tell us about it, like, kind of, you know, just give us a project briefing and we'll give you our feedback, you know, or our thoughts. So I can start working on reaching out and trying to bring someone in on a almost like a
increase my fees. But I do know one of the first things I worked on when I joined the EDC was they were doing the street maintenance fee increase, which is going to affect a lot of businesses. Mm-hmm. The business pay a bigger chunk of that fee because they have so many cars coming in and out.
Yeah. Yep.
So they pay a huge, and the fees went up substantially at that point when I first put it in. But again, that was probably 10 years ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago. So,
I don't know. Maybe those fees need to be looked at
again. Yeah, actually, that's sort of what I was thinking. Something along those lines was something I think maybe we can take up next time if we don't have anything else. I've been nerding out on revenue generation issues for the city the last year now. And we're finally getting to a point where we're starting to discuss those at council and figure out how to fund a lot of the really interesting stuff we'd like to do, but also keep the city afloat.
Yeah.
That's not a given at all times. So there are a few ideas that maybe we can workshop through here.
And I have another one that I could give you on that. This group, I also went through helping create code on sidewalk cafe code that has never been implemented.
Interesting.
So that is that could be looked at because that would be a permitting process that would get that permit fee would bring money into the city, and then Main Street would be able to control how people have their videos set up outside.
Not
on the cycle track and leaving a big enough space for wheelchairs and strollers to go through.
Well, I like that as a nice, we can do that immediately, right? We can start into something like that next month. So I think that's a really good first step as we work through the work program for the group. You know, at least we can get doing something. So I like that. That's great. We can do that.
Yeah.
If you guys have, other ideas, just send them to me, and over the next couple of weeks, I can slowly pick away and see who's available to come and give us a talk and go from there. Talk about Oppenheimer.
Can we not? I've spent more of my life in this game doing that than I would ever have.
No one has brought that up.
Yeah, I
know. Still going, right? Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
I'll point out that we're a minute from seven. I want to say there's a lot of things in my brain about some of the comments you were making around the you were talking about the economic opportunities analysis. And Chris, you were saying, and I appreciate you protecting us and saying we don't have time for that. And someone pointed out that we're realtors and insurance agents, but it's possible that there's a lot more competency in this group and more time in this group than I think people might know or understand. And I could be wrong. And I'd like to have some time on the agenda next meeting to get a good understanding of what our strengths are, what our competencies are, what we want to do as a group, what we can bring to the table before we make official, I guess, decisions about what we're capable of. And how much time we can commit. And I'd like to hear from the committee members a little bit more personally from them on what they're willing to do commitment wise and what they bring to the table. Not necessarily to do an EOA, but for whatever it is that we can bring. Because I just don't know, and I think I worry about making assumptions about what we're capable of without knowing for sure. So I'd like to have that on the agenda next time. If we could get some minutes on there where we share those two things, that would be great.
And sure.
In my opinion, that'd be a great first step.
Yeah, no problem.
Because I do believe that this committee can be more relevant than it is and can do more than it does. And so I'd like to be able to, make an argument for that if that's something that we all want to do together.
Sure.
Okay, thanks. I appreciate it.
Cool.
With that, I'll motion to adjourn since it's 7:01.
I will second.
There it is.
He's there.
He's there.
Thanks, Russell. All in favor?
Or burned.
Yes, all in favor.
Oh, right. Oh yeah.
Okay. I mean, it's seven. I guess officially I could just adjourn the meeting, but you know, I try to be respectful, right? So anyway, thank you. This was great. This was good. A lot of great information. And it was nice to meet you, Steve. And it's cool to have a couple of council members here today.
Thank you, Jared.
Have a great evening.
Thanks, Russell. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Bye. All right.
I'm sorry. I feel like such a jerk.